Matthew chapter 8.
We're going to begin Matthew chapter 8 this evening. It's been a few weeks since we've been in the book of Matthew. I know I was away, and I think Brother Hannes, I think, preached that Sunday night. I was gone, and then the week after that, we had Pastor Bickle, which was a real blessing, and then after that, we had Brother Gilmore. And so it's been a nice break. We had some good preaching come through, and here we're going to continue looking at Matthew 8, looking at the power of Jesus tonight, and specifically we're going to see the power of Jesus over leprosy. I want to focus zero in on the first four verses this evening. Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worship him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded, for testimony unto them." Let's stop and let's pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege of opening up your word, that we can have the very word of God here in our laps, and we can read, study it, preach from it. And we're thankful for the truth that it gives us, truth that we desperately need. Lord, would you encourage us tonight of your power, your greatness, your ability, and also your willingness to intervene and make a difference in our lives. We're thankful. Lord, help us to increase in our faith and in our desire to come to you for the needs and desires of our life. I pray that you would be exalted during this time, that you would fill me with your spirit, that you would guide my thoughts and my tongue as I preach, and that you would work in all the hearts of the listeners tonight, cultivate our faith, Lord, and our obedience, our devotion to you. And just bless this time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The power of Jesus. Matthew, you'll know, he has a specific goal in mind as he writes his gospel. Just to recap, the gospel records are not just biographies, like we might read a biography of historical figures today, and that give us every single detail of that person's life. The gospels are not necessarily written that way. You'll see sometimes the beginning of Christ's life, and a big fast forward to really in his 30s, his earthly ministry, and then his death, burial, and resurrection, and his ascension to heaven. And so really the Gospels focus more on themes. They're not just history. They contain history, but they're mainly based on a theme. And Matthew's theme is that Jesus is King of the Jews. He's writing to emphasize that this is your King. This is the Messiah that the Old Testament prophesied of. And so he's always linking Jesus back to the Old Testament. He's always linking Christ to the fulfillment. That's a key word in Matthew, fulfillment, being fulfilled. And so that's what Matthew's trying to emphasize, is that Christ is the King. And we see a little bit of his person described in the first four chapters of Matthew. And then we see the principles of the King, you could say, in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Tremendous sermon we just studied, the greatest sermon ever preached. And really, these are principles of what the kingdom will be like and what the King expects of his kingdom citizens, the principles of the King. Now, in chapters 8 and 9, Matthew emphasizes the power of the King. And he lays out and fleshes out all of the miracles that Jesus performed. And he performed his miracles for various reasons. Jesus' miracles were not just random. They weren't just arbitrary. There was a purpose and goal in mind when he performed his miracles. First, he performed his miracles to meet human needs. This leper was a person in need. We're going to talk about what leprosy was. It was a debilitating disease. He was a dead man walking. And can I tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is King, and he looks down and he sees your need and my need. He sees our desperation, our plight. He sees the groanings of our heart. He knows our deepest desires, and he wants to meet those needs. That's what we learn from the miracle, that Christ is a Savior that's very near to our needs, and he wants to meet those needs. You know, I get off base in my Christian life when I forget that Christ is the one that can meet my needs. And I think I can meet my own needs. Or I think the world can meet my needs. I think people can meet my needs. And I forget that, no, there's a Savior that loves me more than anyone could ever love me and wants to meet my needs. And so he performed these miracles to meet human needs. But then secondly, these miracles were additional credentials to give credibility that he is exactly who we proclaim to be. How do we know he's the Messiah? How do we know he's God, he's Lord? Because he had authority and power over the winds, the waves, the diseases of men, sin. He could forgive sin. So all of these miracles were given as evidences to prove he is Lord. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. There's so many skeptics today. And some like to even twist the Bible and say, well, Jesus never really claimed to be God. He was just a good teacher, a moral man, and he died. And it was the people after him that they took these stories and they created the mythology to deify a man that was just a man, a mere mortal. My friends, that's the furthest thing from the truth. All of the miracles Jesus performed are literal miracles. And he performed them to verify that he is Lord, he is God. By the way, you know the greatest miracle he performed, right? He laid down his life and he took it again. That's the greatest miracle. There's an empty tomb still that proves that he is Lord. He wasn't a liar. There's no myth of Jesus. He is Jesus, the Lord of the world. He is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. And the miracles give evidence of that. And then thirdly, as I mentioned, Matthew links his miracles to Old Testament prophecies. His miracles were a fulfillment of prophecies from the Old Testament. And so we're looking at the power of Jesus, especially over leprosy. And you read the rest of Matthew 8, he also heals a centurion's servant, a Gentile. Later on, he's going to heal Peter's mother-in-law, a woman. And it's interesting, these groups, lepers, Gentiles, and women, they were outcasts in Jewish society. They were considered outcasts, especially by the religious leaders. In fact, there's a saying that many Pharisees would pray this prayer each morning. They would pray this, I give thanks that I'm a man and not a woman, a Jew and not a Gentile, a free man and not a slave. And so that's the pride that was in the Pharisees. Those were the different outcasts of society. But can I tell you something? Those are just the types of people Jesus came to save. Those are just the types of people Jesus wants to reach. In fact, oftentimes those are the types of people that are more open to the gospel because they've been rejected by society. And we have outcasts in our society. We have people groups that maybe aren't the most prominent in our society, the down and outers, we could say. The Lord has a plan for them. He has love for them. He wants to reach them too. And so don't get so pious in our Christianity that we want to be free from being around people like that, that we lost the compassion for souls, the burden for souls that Jesus has. No, these are the types of people our Lord came to save. And he demonstrates his power. He demonstrates his power just by his touch, and really, in the case of the centurion servant, just by his word. He didn't even have to go there in person to heal that man. But just by his touch, he can make a difference in our lives. And the blessing of the truth that we're looking at tonight is that Jesus is able. He's more than able to meet our needs. And the blessing is that he's also willing to meet our needs, because that was the key issue for the leper. He knew Christ was able, but was Christ willing to heal someone like him? And certainly the Lord was willing. When we see these miracles, the compassion and empathy that Jesus had for those who were, we see that he had this compassion for those that are suffering in any degree. And again, as Christians, if Christ is our example, that's the way we ought to live our lives too, that we have compassion. When you see sin and wickedness, it's easy to get angry, and there is a righteous indignation, but then these are sheep without a shepherd. These are people that are lost in the bondage of sin, and they need a Savior. And then we go and point them to the Savior, do our best to pray for them, witness to them. Hey, the next time you complain about a politician, also pray for that politician. Pray they get saved. Pray that they would be touched by the Lord and changed and transformed by the Lord. Amen.
Jesus had compassion. And he loved to heal. He loved to turn, he loved them, and he would never turn these away that came to him in sincerity and faith. He always received them. We see tonight the power that Jesus had to cure any disease or perform any miracle. Again, all these miracles testify that he was the Messiah, he was Lord. And we see from a human perspective the reward of faith, the rewards of faith, that God honors faith. God honors when we step out and trust him. He always honors faith. And so number one tonight, let's consider the leper's defilement. The leper's defilement. Most people in those days and today would completely avoid a leper. But here we see Jesus entertained his company, was willing to get close to him, talk to him, and even touch him. Our Lord touched this leprous man in order to heal him. When we compare these events, by the way, here in Matthew 8, you can see a comparison in Mark chapter 1 and also in Luke chapter 5 and the synoptic gospels. They kind of all kind of work in close harmony in the way they give their stories. But Matthew's chronology is a little bit different than Mark and Luke's. And again, Matthew's trying to make a case. He's building a theme. He's not just concerned with chronology here. And so you read in Mark, it looks like it's happening in a different time. But many Bible teachers understand that Matthew's trying to make a theme and a topic, not necessarily focusing on chronology. But Matthew here shows us that after the teaching ministry of our Lord, that he also begins his healing ministry to confirm his words, to confirm that he is Lord, that he's God, and we should follow him. And he deals with this man's leprosy first. And leprosy is one of the oldest recorded diseases in the world. It's one of the deadliest diseases in the world. The Jewish Talmud taught that leprosy was second only to death in its list of defilements. And so the rabbis often believed that to be a leper was to be directly judged by God, that there was some sin in your life and this was a judgment from God. One commentator wrote and described the horrors of the disease of leprosy, and he wrote this: "The disease which we today call leprosy generally begins with pain in certain areas of the body. Numbness follows. Soon the skin in such spots loses its original color. It gets to be thick, glossy, and scaly. As the sickness progresses, the thickened spots become dirty sores and ulcers due to poor blood supply. The skin, especially around the eyes and ears, begins to bunch with deep furrows between the swellings so that the face of the afflicted individual begins to resemble that of a lion, bunched up skin and flesh. Fingers and the extremities begin to drop off and are absorbed. Toes, fingers, eyebrows, eyelashes drop out. By this time, one can see the person is in a pitiable condition. By the touch of the finger, one can also feel the condition. One can smell the condition. There was a very unpleasant odor. It was literally decaying, rotting flesh. In view of the fact that this disease-producing agent frequently also attacks the larynx, the leper's voice also began to have a grating sound to it. His throat became hoarse, and you can not only see, feel, and smell the leper, but you can hear it in his rasping voice. If you stay with him for some time, you will even imagine that odor and that scent even becomes into your mouth and your nose and your palate due to the strong odor. And so we're talking about a disease that's just a debilitating disease. It's awful to have to endure this. In the Bible, leprosy is often used as a picture of our sin. It's a picture of how wicked and vile our sin is. If your stomach was turning and if you got squeamish at the description I just read of leprosy, that's how God views our sin. That's how God views the wickedness that you and I do. It's vile before a holy God. And by the way, what God hates, we should hate too. We should see not only the sins of other people, but our sin as completely vile, corrupt. A sickness, a cancer that must be done away with. And so the Bible presents sin as just like it presents leprosy. It has devastating effects. It's contagious. It's debilitating. It's corruptive. It takes its victim and makes him essentially dead while alive. A leper was like a dead man walking. His flesh was literally decaying. And we spoke about man's sin in the morning service. As Christians, can we rejoice that we've been saved from sin? Amen for that. We've been saved from the penalty of sin. That's hell. We are being saved from the power of sin. That's the Holy Spirit sanctifying us every day. One day we're going to be saved from the presence of sin when we're glorified up in heaven. But the question is, why do we as Christians continue to go back to sin? We go back to put the chains of sin back on us. We go back to the vile, wicked, awful sin that we've been delivered from. Do you see the problem? And may we start to view our sin as something that's a wicked, vile disease like leprosy. Maybe that'll help us to have a healthy fear of God and an avoidance of sin. We want to avoid it as much as possible. Sin destroys us. It corrupts us. It destroys lives and it destroys those around us. It eats us up just like the ulcers of leprosy eat a person up. Sin causes us to be separated from fellowship with godly Christians, and even the fellowship that we should be enjoying with God Himself. And so may we look at sin as something that is defiling, it corrupts us. Then number two, the leper goes to Jesus. This man that's in this terrible condition, desperate condition, he must have heard of Jesus. He must have heard maybe some of his teachings. And he decides to approach our Lord. It says in verse 2, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. Ah, he understood. This is more than just a man. This is more than just a prophet or a good teacher. This is the Lord. This is God. And he bows down to worship him. In the Greek, that word that's translated for worship is a word that's only used for worship of God, worship of deity. And he gives the Lord worship. And by the way, we know the Lord is God because he receives this worship. You see, if he was just a teacher, just a man, and he was a good man and an honest man, he would say, don't worship me. I'm just a man. I'm just a mortal. Worship only God. In fact, there's periods in the Bible you see that angels are worshiped, and they say, hey, don't worship me. Worship God. But Jesus received this man's worship because he is God. By the way, it's always confusing double talk when people want to say Jesus is a good teacher, but he's not God, because then Jesus here would be a liar. In Matthew 8, or some say a lunatic, to think he's God and not tell people he's not. And someone said he's either liar, lunatic, or Lord. We believe he's Lord. Amen. He's Lord. And he received this man's worship. This man understood the person of Jesus, that he was worthy of worship. Tonight, do you understand that he's worthy of worship? There's the position of worship that we can say on our knees, on our face before God, and there's the physical aspect of bowing down and kneeling before him. But worship is much more than the physical aspect. Worship is in your heart. Are you kneeling before him in your heart and in your daily life? Hey, this week you can worship him as you go to work and you say, Lord, I want to submit to your will today at work. That's worship. Worship is not just when you open the hymnal for a few minutes during church. It's worship when you say, Lord, whatever you tell me to do today, I'm going to do it and be devoted to you. And God is glorified by that. Worship says, Lord, whatever you want me to refrain from today, I'm going to do that. That's worship. Tonight, do you see the Lord as worthy of living that way? Brother Gilmore made an interesting comment. And he talked about kind of a problem in Christianity today. The phrase or the idea that I don't want to go that far in my Christianity. I forgot exactly the way he phrased it, but the idea that we would put limits. Well, I'll go to church Sunday morning, but I don't want to go that far to go back Sunday night. Well, I'll give a few dollars here and there, but I don't want to go that far and actually tithe or give to missions or give sacrificially. I'll be a good Christian myself, but I don't want to go that far and start to witness to my friends and try to invite them to church. And I don't want to go that far. And I question Christians that live that way and talk that way. Do you see the worthiness of Christ? Do you believe he's worthy of living that way? Of going that far for him? See, worship says, Lord, you're worthy of everything. Whatever you ask, Lord, you're worthy of it all. Lord, there's no gift greater that I can give to you than my obedience, my submission to you. And this leper, he got it. And he didn't even have to grow up in a Baptist church to get it. He understood he's worthy of worship. He's worthy of me coming before him. And it says, saying, Lord, he acknowledged him. He's Lord. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It's interesting. This leper goes to Jesus. And in those days, according to Old Testament law, if a person was found to have leprosy, his clothes were to be torn. There are supposed to be evidences that he was a leper so that people can keep their distance. His head was to be uncovered, but his mouth would be covered, and he was to walk around shouting, unclean! 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 So people could stay away from him. In fact, lepers were told to live outside of the normal society. They were to live in their own leper colonies, really, according to Numbers and Leviticus. And so this leper broke all the rules. And so did Jesus, you could say, by coming and having fellowship with this leper, allowing him to come and worship him and for the Lord to even touch him in order to heal him. According to Jewish law and customs, one had to keep 6 feet from a leper. And that sounds kind of familiar, like COVID. 6 feet social distance. That was the original social distance before it was cool, I guess. And if the wind was blowing toward a person, they had to keep 150 feet. That was the custom of those days, because the only thing more defiling than a contact with a leper was contact with a dead body. And so for the Jews in those days, they tried to completely distance themselves from lepers. But this leper, he was desperate. He had no other hope, no other recourse, so he came to Jesus with this sense of need and desperation, and Jesus received him. Praise the Lord for that. This man not only begged Jesus, he worshipped him, as we just studied. He worshipped him and understood he had the power and the ability to heal him, to change him forever. And we know that our Lord is a healer. We see that from cover to cover in the Bible. I'm reminded of the story of Naaman, the Syrian commander. He was a Gentile also. And he was found with leprosy. And thankfully, the prophet Elisha was able to tell him the means for healing. The Lord wanted him to go and dip himself in the Jordan River 7 times. See, doing that showed that he would trust God's way for healing. And we saw Naaman healed in the Old Testament. And we see that throughout the scriptures, the Lord healing people. There's many examples we can give. But my point tonight is the Lord is able to heal. Do we believe that tonight? He is able. Any need in your life, he is able to meet that need. I mean, that's the starting point. It's faith that he is able. But sometimes we're like this leper, that we know that he is able, but sometimes the question is, are you willing, Lord? This leper comes and says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Lord, I know you have the power. I know you are Lord, you're God. But are you willing to heal someone like me? Someone like me. So sometimes it's our lack of faith that he's willing to meet the needs that we have in our lives. Lord, I know you'll do it for the preacher. Lord, I know you'll do it for the missionary or for this person or this. But Lord, I don't know if you'll do it for me. You ever been guilty of thinking that way? That's unbelief. Listen, we need to come and know that he's able and he is willing. And that oftentimes, that's the razor edge of our prayer life, accessing and laying hold on the will of God. Go with me to 1 John chapter 5. See, our entire prayer life is based on the reality that we're laying hold of God's ability and his willingness to move on our behalf. 1 John 5, verse 14, says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. That's the praying ground we need to be on. Lord, if we trust you and we know this is your will, we can be confident. It's a done deal. we have this confidence that when we lay a hold of your will. So the question is, how do we discover the will of God? Sometimes that's the question, right? It's discovering the will of God. Well, discovering the will of God comes from, I believe, knowing God from His Word. You can read and you see in the Scriptures that, listen, God oftentimes is more likely to heal than not, according to the Bible. According to the Bible, we see countless examples of where He heals. We do see examples of where He chooses not to heal. That's the reality too. In the Apostle Paul's life, many people think it was a health issue, that thorn in the flesh that he had, that three times he prayed, but the Lord saw fit not to deliver him from that. But we lay hold on the fact that He is able and He is willing. And in the leper's life, we see the Lord was willing. Oh, tonight, let's keep on praying ground and access God's will for our lives and have the confidence that He's able to move on our behalf. Number three, Jesus touches the leper and he is cleansed. Let's go back to our text there in Matthew chapter 8. This man comes to Jesus and says, Lord, I know you're able to heal, but Lord, will you heal me? In verse 3, Matthew 8, verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Again, note, if a person touched a leper, according to the Old Testament ceremonial law, immediately he would also become ceremonially unclean. But Jesus touched this man intentionally. He touched him because in touching this man, he healed his leprosy. But in doing so, he did not become ceremonially unclean. Our Lord touched this man, I believe, to show that he's identifying with us in our need. He's identifying with us in our need. We see this example throughout his earthly life. That's the reason he came to die. He came to die in our place on the cross to be our substitute on the cross. He identifies with us. But he touches this leper, and immediately the Bible says he's cleansed, he's healed of his leprosy. The leper's life was changed forever. I'm sure it was incredible, amazing moment for this leper. Perhaps much of his adult life had this debilitating disease, not just the disease itself, but the social angst he must have had, the emotional problems he must have dealt with, having to be an outcast and live as a leper. But now he comes to Christ, now his life has changed forever. Just by the touch of Jesus. Praise the Lord for Jesus' touch. When he touches you, he touches me, that he changes us forever. Praise the Lord for that. And so just like he requested, he was cleansed. But can I tell you something? We see this is a reward of faith. The leper had to trust that the Lord was able and he was willing and he had to go to the Lord. You know, so many times we fall short of that. Maybe we have a head knowledge, but we fall short of actually going to the Lord. Don't be like that. Don't miss out on the rewards of faith. You see, there might have been some other lepers that could have been healed, but they might have thought, you know, I need to stay away from Jesus. I'm too unclean. I'm a tough case. I'm a harder case than most. I don't know if he can save me. I don't know if he can change me. I don't know if he can fix me. He can do it for others, but I don't think he can do it for me. He can't handle my sin. And there are some people that they think that the Lord's going to be too shocked by their condition, too horrified, too embarrassed by it. But Jesus touched this leper, and he wants to come make a difference in all of our lives. The Apostle Paul said that he was the chief of sinners, and the Lord saved him, so everyone else is easy potatoes for the Lord. Amen. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. There's nothing too hard for God. There's no such thing as a case that's too hard for God to crack and for a heart for God to reach and to save. And this leper is evidence of that. Oh, I've talked to some sinners. I tried to witness to them, and they feel like, well, I can't come to Jesus. I'm just too far out in sin. Or maybe they think, well, I've got to clean myself up before I can come to your church and come and get saved. And I've got to clean up my mess in my life before I can go to the Lord. And they get it backwards. No, you don't clean yourself and go to the Lord. You go to the Lord for cleansing. You come with your sin, with your leprosy, and He will heal. He will save. That's the gospel, folks. And sometimes we as Christians miss that. because we look at sinners and we think, well, let's change the behavior of sinners before they actually get born again, and we get it backwards. Maybe sometimes our family, our friends, and we try to nitpick at their behavior and their external things, and we miss it. Of course they're going to live what they're doing. Their heart has to be transformed. They need to be cleansed, and only Christ can do that. And so we pray that God would do a work in their hearts. This example of the Lord's healing of this leper shows us the compassion Jesus had and the compassion we need to have as Christians too. Again, notice that his ministry was to all segments of society. He didn't just come for the nobles and the religious people, the good crowd. He came for everyone, the good, bad, and the ugly. Amen? He came for every person in society. And so we ought to have that same mentality and that vision for the lost. That we ought not have prejudice in our hearts. That class of people, that group of folks, or that sin community, or whatever it is, they're unreachable, they're untouchable. And we almost write them off. No, this leper is evidence that the Lord, whatever slop, wickedness, defilement of sin, he can get in there and make a difference. He can get in there and save and cleanse and make a difference. As Christians, we certainly believe in separation from the world. Separation from the world to God, but we don't believe in isolation. What we mean by separation is we don't want to be contaminated and defiled by the world around us. We're careful with our boundaries, with our associations, but we don't believe in isolation. We don't believe that we're going to live in this life in some bubble where we're impervious to sin around us. That's not the way Jesus lived his life. No, he ate with the Pharisees. He ate with the publicans, with the harlots. He was mocked for doing that, by the way. But he had heart to reach them. How about you tonight? Have you been guilty of locking yourself up in your ivory tower? In your closed holiness that I'm going to just keep myself away from everybody and everything? I tell you, that's one thing that I bemoan with the COVID pandemic is that Christians have lost their passion to be with sinners and reach them. And sometimes there's even excuses given that, well, maybe I shouldn't go and reach them. Maybe I shouldn't take the step to minister to them because I'm afraid of COVID. And I don't know that's how Jesus would want us to live. I don't think so. I'm not sure that that's God's will for us living in this world. That we go around keeping ourselves away from everything and anything and we're not reaching the lost. No, Jesus got in there. He wasn't careless. We're not talking about being presumptuous. We're talking about walking in God's will to reach people, to love people, to reach them with the gospel. And Jesus here told the leper after he was saved. It's interesting in verse 4, after he healed him, it's a big deal, right? I mean, that's reason to shout right there. But he says, "See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest." That was the Old Testament law and custom that they would go and fulfill this, present to themselves to a priest to be now officially declared ceremonially clean. I tell you, that probably happens so rarely because this is a special, unique miracle that when he went to the priest, that priest must have been like, wait a minute, what do I say here? What do I do here? This doesn't happen every day. But he told this man, don't tell anyone about this. Interesting. Why did Jesus tell this man not to spread this news about him? Many have posed that question. Well, there's several reasons we can give. First, Jesus did not want his earthly ministry. Remember, he was on a schedule and a specific program. He's doing his Father's business, right? And so he did not want that program to be co-opted by others. We know what's going to happen. Word is going to start to spread. People start getting healed. People hear about it. Word spreads. And the crowds flock. And, you know, you study his earthly ministry, oftentimes the multitudes were a hindrance. And he had to separate himself from the multitudes and take time apart. And we know the multitudes weren't all saved, by the way. There was a lot of people, you can imagine, they just like to be around Jesus, but they don't actually want to follow Jesus to the very end. They want to be around the miracles. They want to be around when good things are happening in the church and offerings are full. They want to come and see, hey, what's going on over there? But when it's talking about committing yourself to following Christ, not everybody's on board for that. So our Lord at this time was not trying to have his program co-opted by other people that would want to say, hey, let's bring you to this city now. Now come do this. Now come over here. Hey, now let's come and let's start a political insurrection. Let's overtake the Romans now. And let's do this. He didn't want that at that time. See, he was going to reveal himself on his own terms. And so at this point in time, he said, go and tell no man. That was specific to that leper at that time. His purpose was to wait when the time was right, when he would reveal himself publicly. His purpose was not political popularity or insurrection, but discipleship and ultimately dying on the cross. If you compare this with Mark's account, let's go to Mark chapter 1 and verse 45. Mark chapter 1, verse 45. He told the leper, hey, don't tell anyone about this. Just go show yourself to the priest. Verse 45 says, but he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, and insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. So he didn't listen. Now, isn't that just like sinful man? He says, don't tell anyone. He goes and tells everyone. But then later, now when the time is right, the Great Commission says for the church, go and tell everyone. You and I, we're not going and telling everyone. That's just like sinful man, right? We get it backwards. He says, go and tell the world, and we tell no one, nobody. We don't tell our coworkers. We're rubbing shoulders with sinners in school, in the classroom, at lunch, in our neighborhood, and we kind of act like we need to be undercover Christians. We don't tell anyone, but I'm a Christian. That's not the way it's supposed to be. No, now, for our dispensation, the Lord says, listen, go and tell the world. Publish it, proclaim it, go to all the world and preach the gospel. Yes, everyone should be a preacher of the gospel. You ladies too, amen? That doesn't mean you get behind a pulpit and pastor a church, but it means you go out and you proclaim and publish the gospel. And every generation needs to be involved in that. Every age group, young people, teenagers, get a hold of that to reach your generation. Who else will? Get a hold of reaching your people. I always am so thankful when people receive the gospel. They say, you know what, some people spent more on hand sanitizer than they did tithing maybe this past couple of years. I don't know. But we go to great lengths to protect our physical health, our bodies, but what about our spirit and our soul? Are we that reluctant to engage in sin, even questionable things, that we would say, you know what? I don't want to defile myself, spiritually speaking. So even things that are questionable, I want to say, Lord, I'd rather err on the side of right here. I'd rather take a more conservative approach because I don't want to fall over the line into sin and defilement. I wonder what would happen if Christians started living that way. If we started looking at sin like cancer, that's something that has to be removed immediately. Don't delay. Don't just let it sit there and fester and corrupt and grow and become malignant. Know that we see it immediately, we're convicted of it, and we make a beeline for the altar. We bow down and say, Lord, forgive me. We confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us, amen, from all unrighteousness. Why don't we view our sin that way? I think it'd make a big difference if we did. There are sins of commission, sins that we do, wrong things we do, wrong attitudes that we have and behaviors. Then there's sins of omission, things that we ought to be doing that we're not doing. We ought to be praying regularly, having Bible reading, witnessing, right? Keeping our testimonies. We ought to be doing those things, and to not do those things is to sin. And these things defile us. May we recognize sin. May we be so sin sensitive that as soon as it pops up in our hearts and lives, that we're ready to deal with it appropriately, to seek forgiveness and to forsake it. I'm thankful tonight Jesus can heal. I'm thankful tonight that he saves when we come to him in faith. Amen for that. Someone said this, bless God for health of the body. Look around the room. If you enjoy a good measure of health, praise the Lord for that. But let's determine to be especially anxious for health of soul. Praise God for the means of spiritual health too. The Bible gives us the means for spiritual health to make sure we're spiritually healthy and not spiritually sick. We can come to Jesus and be healed in our spirit too. Tonight we saw that we need the touch of Jesus in our lives. His touch was a touch of purity. It was a touch of sympathy and a touch of power. Tonight, I don't know what your need is. You know, Christians can be bogged down by sin. It's unfortunate, but it's true. Would you come to Jesus and see him make a difference? You can have victory over sin. You don't have to be a victim of sin. Confess it, forsake it, come clean with God. Maybe tonight we can get a burden for the lost around us. There's leprosy all around us. There's lepers wandering around. They don't even know it. But can we love them enough to point them to the Savior who wants to forgive and save them? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for Jesus, for who he is, and for all that he's done and provided for us. Thank you, Lord, for your power and for your willingness. Oh, Father, would you help us as Christian people tonight to see our sin as you see it, to see our sin like the wicked, the vileness of disease like leprosy or cancer and other diseases that we see as abhorrent that we want to remove. We don't want to keep in our lives. We want to remove it immediately. Lord, help us to see our sin that way. Give us a fresh vision of our sin tonight, and that we would see it as you see it, and that we would be honest about it, confess it, and forsake it. Lord, perhaps there's someone tonight, they've never been born again. They've never experienced your saving touch. Oh, would we see genuine repentance and conversion tonight? And for Christians, would you give us a burden for the lost? That you would give us your compassion, your love. Lord, that doesn't always come natural for us, but give us your love, your burden for the lost. Give us your boldness to want to reach out and witness to the lost. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, I wonder if there's anyone here that would say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. I need to receive the saving touch of Jesus tonight. I need to be born again. That's my need. Could you raise your hand if that's you? The Spirit's convicting you. You say you need to be saved. I trust that we all have that testimony, that assurance that our sins are forgiven, we're saved. But how's your walk with God, Christian? How many would say tonight, the Holy Spirit's convicted me? The Holy Spirit's convicted me to view my sin the way God views it, in the appropriate light. And I want to deal with sin in my life. God spoke to me tonight. If that's you, could you slip your hand up? Amen. Praise the Lord. In just a moment, we'll have a chance to come and do business with the Lord. That's what it's all about. You see, Jesus didn't embarrass this leper. He didn't try to thumb him down and just talk him down. He wanted to make a difference for this man. And he was ready and willing to work and make a difference. But the man had to come to the Lord. Tonight, will you come to the Lord? Don't cover your sin. You'll never prosper. Don't act like it's not there, like it's not a big deal. You know it's a big deal. God knows it's a big deal. Confess it, forsake it. Seek his power to rid yourself of it. I'm going to ask our pianist to play softly. Let's spend a few moments in prayer tonight. Go, come to Jesus. His sanctifying, cleansing power. Let's pray for the lost around us. They need his saving touch.